Well, one of the things that we hope and pray for our kids as they're growing up is that they will understand in time that rebellion is not necessarily a grown-up thing. And I think in a lot of ways, some of us still struggle with that too, spiritually speaking, in that it's one thing to be certain about your place and your view of things or your belief about certain things, and there's nothing wrong with that firmness. But at the same time, that we need to make sure that when we are dealing with our God and what He has revealed is perfect and good and right and holy and true, that we are in submission to what He says is good and right and pure and holy and true. Because if we are not, then we are acting like those teenagers that struggle with authority. You got that? And that God wants us to grow up and realize that submission to Him, submission to those that He places in our lives to be authority for us, that that's not a bad thing. Not only is it not a bad thing, but it is something that He has placed in our lives for a purpose to be actually a blessing to us. And that we do not act stiff-necked when He or those He puts in our lives are speaking truth. That's rough. Because sometimes we know what we know, but we forget that God knows everything and that He has a perfect way, a perfect life, a perfect purpose for each one of us, and that we need to submit. So we're talking about this whole idea of submission. And we got to the point where, as we've talked about being submissive to spiritual authority, that we're talking about three reasons that we need to be submitted. We talked about a lot of other things, but today we're gonna launch from this place. So the first thing that I just alluded to is the reason why we ought to be submissive to spiritual authority is to protect the truth. And we talked about some passages the other day where it said that this is something that's very important, that whenever we are submissive to spiritual authority, that what that does is it protects the truth that's been preached, that's been passed along, that's been revealed by God and recorded, that what we have in Scripture. That when we live and we act and we submit to that truth, that protects the truth. And what happens is when people do not submit themselves to God's authority, to what He's revealed, and people try to teach other things outside of that counsel, outside of that revealed truth, that is where error comes in, heresy comes in, and people's flesh begins to take over and dictate what is taught. And you see plenty of examples in the New Testament where it talks about groups doing that. There was the Judaizing group that was steeped in their Hebrew traditions, and they wanted to try to sort of make people become Jews before they could become followers of Jesus. And Paul said, no, that doesn't work. And then there was John, who dealt with another heresy that developed a little bit later, where people kind of said, you only saw Jesus. He was really a spiritual being. It just looked like He was there. And part of that belief was also that there was kind of this duality, and that you could kind of live like hell on earth and still have this spiritual perfection because you had the secret knowledge. Okay, if you knew the secret handshake, you knew the secret words, you had the secret revelation, you were in and your spiritual being was fine, but it didn't have any effect on the way you lived. He said both of those are wrong because it's not in accordance with the truth that's been revealed. And if you submit to what God has revealed, it protects the truth. And when people don't, It always perverts the truth. So we need to be submitted to that. So there's a protection. It's to protect the truth. Second thing is to protect you and me. The reason that we need to submit to God's spiritual authority in our lives and the authority that He places in our lives is so that we would be safe. We would be protected. We would be, I'm going to use the word that you might hear from time to time, covered. Okay. Yesterday, Regina and I were at Publix when the storm hit. There weren't no covering. I was slamming groceries in the back of the trunk, and in about 35 seconds, I was soaking wet head to toe. There was no covering. There was nothing going to keep me from being soaking wet and a little bit perturbed. Now, if I had had something where I had pulled up underneath and covered it, I might still gotten wet, but it wouldn't have been like I was. Covering is an important thing. Spiritually speaking, it's even more important than when you're talking about getting wet. There are things we can do that maybe God moves us to be aware of or think of, but if we run ahead of God or we lag behind God, then we find that we are no longer under the covering of God because we're not sticking with Him. We're not in step with Him. Even if those are good things and they're God things, imagine then the stuff that's of our own devices and our own flesh and our own ideas. Those things, whenever we start pursuing those and we don't submit that to God, we're running out from underneath the cover that He has for us. His ways are best. Why do you think He revealed the Ten Commandments through Moses to Israel? It wasn't just because God wanted to tell them how to do their stuff. It was because those 12 things that the 10 things that he revealed to Israel, those were things He wanted them to do because it would be a blessing to them. Their lives would be better. Their people would be multiplied. It would be something for them that would protect them. And it's the same thing for us. Grace and truth and light and holiness and goodness, all those things that He reveals for us that are true are there to protect us. So when we submit to His spiritual authority, we're submitting to what is best for us. Third thing, to develop us, to develop you, to develop me, it's important that we submit. So how does submitting to spiritual authority develop you or me? I'm kind of going to attack this back a little bit to what we just said a little bit. One, it teaches you and me to trust God. It develops us when we submit to the spiritual authority that God places in our lives through Scripture, through those He places into us, into our lives that are spiritual authority in us. When we submit to that, and we listen to that counsel, and we let it guide us and direct us. When we do that, what we find is that we learn to trust God. And if we don't, and we run out from under the cover, and we run out from the protection that God has for us, what we find is that we didn't trust God because we thought our way was better. So we are lacking faith in doing that. It doesn't develop our faith. And that's exactly what He does want to happen in our lives. He wants our faith, our trust in Him to grow. And the only way we can do that is if we do it, meaning do it our lives, live our lives according to His ways. We're submitting to Him in that, and it teaches us to trust God. Second, it teaches us to respect other people. We get developed when we have to think about other people first. When we have to place others first, which is what Jesus did when He died on the cross for us. He put our interest before His own. He cared about us more than He cared about Himself. And you know, this whole idea, what I'm talking about right now, a lot of the chaos going on in our nation right now would be solved if people would, number one, submit to authority. Number two, that we would realize that when we do that, we respect other people from every end of the spectrum. If we would just respect other people, love them, care for them, and consider them someone that should be listened to, if we would just respect, we would find a lot of the chaos going on right now would be unnecessary. That makes sense? And it's a matter of submitting to spiritual authority. When we do that, we respect other people. We learn how to do that instead of asserting our own ways and acting like we're the ones who know what's right and best. And finally, the third thing is it teaches us to be patient. Submitting to spiritual authority, to God, to those in our lives He puts in our lives to be spiritual authority, when we do that, it teaches us to wait on God. Because sometimes we don't hear, go, go, go. Sometimes we hear, wait, wait, wait. And when we hear, wait, 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 or even if we hear, oh, yep, but you need to know this too. You don't know the full picture yet. You don't have what I need you to know. You don't know the next thing. Whatever it might be, it teaches us to wait and listen, wait and be with God when we submit to Him instead of running out and going and doing our own thing. Now, these things make sense? So these are very important for us to understand about submission. Now we can move forward. All right, next slide. So, submission to spiritual authority is a mark of spiritual maturity. Question. So who do you submit to? Let's see how well you do. Who is it that God has told you and me that we are supposed to submit to spiritually? Okay? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We start out with the big three. Okay? Big one. Okay? All right? Where do we go from there? Okay? The Bible does say that we're supposed to submit to our government because God instituted governments, not because governments are right. So that's government's authority is a derived authority. Important. Okay? All right? What else? Mm-hmm. Head of households. Okay? Bible says husband, right? Okay? Okay. Church leaders and, well, not only the body. We're going to see that in just a second. We'll see all these things very clearly in just a minute. Yes, Carol. Okay, parents. All right. Okay. All right. There you go. Here's the list. Okay. We submit to God. We submit to one another. Submit to spiritual leaders, husbands, and parents. You guys did very well. Did you do that? Now, did you do that before the list was up there? All right. So let's look at some things that relate to all these. Let's see here. Let's start with John 14. It's time for your Bibles. John 14, 23 through 26. That's one. John 14, 23 through 26. I need somebody else to get Hebrews 12, 19. Hebrews 12, 19. I need somebody else to do Ephesians 5, 21. So we'll stick with those three first. John 14, 23 to 26. Hebrews 12, 19, and Ephesians 5, 21. Okay, somebody have John 14, 23 to 26. Okay, so what does that passage tell us about submission? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, that word obey, okay, if you obey, you're submitting, right? Okay, Hebrews 12, 19. Okay, shoot for that one. Yeah, that's the one I meant. Thank you. So evidently it's 9, not 19. I made a mistake. Thank you. All right, so again, who is it we're supposed to submit to primarily? First, foremost. Clear, right? Okay. Ephesians 5:21. Okay. And another version may say something like out of reverence for Christ. It's the same meaning. Okay. So, who is it talking about? Submit to who? One another. Okay. This is one of those one another's that, quite frankly, is something that we struggle with in our culture. Number one, we struggle with submission in our culture, period. From a little voice I remember at 2 years old, tell me no. It's a struggle. And in the church, in our nation, we don't think anybody has a right to tell us anything. Who do they think they are? The problem is, when you do that, you have not submitted. Whenever people submit to one another, they are vulnerable and they have what we call a heart of flesh. That's what the Bible calls it. Something that's sensitive and tender, where we let people speak to us even when it hurts sometimes, because those people love us, and the truth is they're speaking God's words to us. They hurt because there's a disconnect between our life and the truth they're speaking. And they're speaking truth to us because they love us. And you do that with your close friends. If you're married, you do that with your spouses. Sometimes your parents have done that in your life. You don't stay quiet. If you do stay quiet in the face of that, then you become an enabler. It's unhealthy, right? We would tag a bunch of names on people who do those things, right? But we live in a society and a culture where somebody in my church says I'm not living right, I think I'll go sue them. But, am I right? That's why we do things the way we do, I think. Okay? Some churches have people sign on a dotted line and agree to a covenant. Okay, and try to legislate that. Some people don't have them sign on a dotted line. They just have them pray a prayer and then they sit on a list for eternity. And whether they're functioning in that body or not, they're still a member of the church. And they can, in quote, have their say. Neither one of those things are very much in accord with submission to one another. The body is as the body functions, right? If I'm functioning like a finger, I'm a finger. Okay. If I'm not functioning like a finger, am I really a? If I'm not acting like any other part of the body, am I a finger? No. I'm not functioning as part of the body. Sometimes bodies can be messy, because sometimes I hit my fingers with hammers or things like that, and it hurts. But guess what? All those blood cells come from other parts of my body and they rush there and they make it heal in time even though there's pain involved. Does that analogy work for you? All right. One another is important. All right. Next couple of passages. I need somebody to go to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, 12 through 16. 1 Corinthians 16, 12 through 16. And then I need somebody to go to Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Okay, somebody got 1 Corinthians 16, 12 through 16? Okay, that's the first one. The second one, Hebrews 13, 17? Okay, so those two passages. Who are we to be submitted to? Okay, those that God places in spiritual leadership before us. Now, once again, the disclaimer is, this is not Jim Jones. We are not talking about whacked out crazies telling people to go stand on a mountaintop somewhere wearing a white sheet waiting for the UFO to come. Okay? That is not it. We're talking about people who are counseling and preaching and teaching the truth and speak the truth in love and live that. Does that make sense? People who are invested. One of the you've been around here long enough. Okay, I've been around here, I think, long enough. Most of you have been around. Is that a lot of times, quite frankly, the reason why people will never end up in leadership is because they didn't want to start out in servanthood. One thing I miss around here is stacking chairs. Okay? Because anybody can engage in stacking chairs. And moving those, yeah, huh? I can fix that. You get the idea? Okay, what I'm saying is, maybe one day some of you will grieve, but it'll be great joy to me when we have this. Either we have a literal fire sale or we have a big bonfire one. I don't know which. We do have a concrete pallet back there, and I'm sure it would draw people from all around town. That church is doing what? They're burning pews. That would be pretty cool. Anyway. The idea being that gave people an opportunity to join in and work every single there was never a Sunday when we were mobile when we did not need to stack or unstack chairs. We always needed to do that. And it didn't matter if you had an IQ of 180 or an IQ of 105. It just didn't matter. Okay? Because it was just a matter of you have a servant heart, you can do it. That's how it starts. That's where it starts. So you don't start out on the top. You start, just like you don't start out being mature, you start out being a toddler, an infant, a toddler, and you grow up. Well, it's the same thing here. We submit to leaders because they're going to help us grow up. And it starts where it starts. It doesn't start at the end. It starts at the beginning. I won't go into that. Okay. Next passage, Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Somebody gets that? It's right after the submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It is kind of interesting how Paul positioned that right before he says what he's going to say now. So Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Somebody read that for me, please. Okay. What does that not mean? If you look at that whole passage, he says the husband's supposed to be like who? Jesus. You can't find any dictator in Jesus. And he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He died for the church, who is each one of us all together. Gave his life for us. So husbands, this has never been a carte blanche, use one of old Larry Spears' words, be a jackleg, and then have the Bible rubber stamp it because everybody's supposed to submit to you. It's not that. And anybody that wants to teach that is not teaching the truth. It's husbands live in such a way that your wives joyfully, willingly see where you're going and they're with you. Now, again, we're imperfect and we don't always live up to that. Either side of that equation, truthfully. But that's why we have to have people speaking into our lives to help us recapture and remember where we're supposed to be going, who we're supposed to be. That's why I think he said, love one another, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Before he starts talking about this. But it doesn't change the fact that he does say, wives, submit to your husbands. And you can't explain it away. What that does, though, is that puts a whole lot of weight on husband's shoulders that God puts there. Sometimes we do better than we do than others as far as bearing that weight. And again, that's why we need one another, to help one another out, learn, and develop and grow and mature. I'm still growing up. Some of you had perfect examples of fathers in your life. Just thank God and be grateful. I love my dad. But you have to understand, from the time I was 10 to today, I've not lived in my dad's house for more than 3 days at a time, hardly. I didn't have that in my life growing up. I didn't know from a day to day, how does a man do this? How does a man deal with this emotion? I didn't have a model. I didn't have a model for how a dad raises a son or a daughter. Because my dad was not in my home from the time I was 10. I don't know. We're all learning. We're all growing up. It's messy. But the truth is, this is what God has said. We've got to learn what it means to bear that responsibility, to be under submission in that way. Guys and gals. You think I dealt with that fairly? Next one. Ephesians 6:1. Ephesians 6:1 and Colossians 3:20. Ephesians 6:1, Colossians 3:20. Somebody who has the Ephesians 6:1, can you read that for us, please? Okay, and Colossians 3:20? All right. And obviously that comes out of where do you think that comes from? The kernel of him of Paul teaching that comes from what? Ten Commandments. Obey your parents or fathers technically. For this is and will do what? Help you to live long and prosper in the land, right? It's an extension of that same truth. God's pretty consistent. He always has been. There are times where I wasn't a very submissive child. All of us probably have those things in our lives where we point and say, I didn't do such a good job at that point. But it is something that all children are called to do. It's a submission, to be submissive to parents. I've got to tell you about a guy that I know. I'll use just his first name. His name's Scott. Scott and I crossed paths in 1987 when I was teaching and coaching in Atlanta. He was one of my wrestlers. Scott now lives here in Savannah. He's been here. Our paths crossed again. Right now, Scott has taken on the responsibility of taking care of his aging father, who's been very ill, and brought him here from other state. Went up and got him and brought him back here. Scott is remarkably, he will take advantage of anything he's got in who he is and what he has, and find a way to use it and make things work. And he is taking care of his father. I can't say enough about Scott. He is submitted to that, even though whenever I knew him in 1987, was literally living by himself in an apartment that he paid for because he worked at Burger King after school and late into the evening. And whenever he would ask for a ride home, you know, I knew something was a little strange, but I didn't know exactly what. And at that point, whenever I was like 27, 28, I didn't have the resources with which in my mind to figure out that Scott was living by himself and taking care of himself. He didn't have either parent. If his mom was around, she was working. I don't know. I never saw her. So I hold up Scott as an example of somebody who is taking, he's doing what he's supposed to, he's submitting to his father in a way that his father, if you and I looked at it, maybe you would not say that maybe he earned that right or earned that privilege. And so the best I can do is whenever I sit down with Scott, I can say, Scott, I'm so impressed, I'm so overwhelmed with your example because you are doing the right thing. And it's not easy, and it's hard, and it's had consequences in your life, but you're doing the right thing. I think that's all part of the same discussion. All right. So we come to the end of this. And I have a couple of questions. Why do you struggle with authority? Spiritual authority. Thank you, Fleetwood Mac. Yeah. It's all about you. You deserve a break today. So get up and get away. Right. I'll go where I know they agree with me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As much as I don't think that's necessarily healthy, if somebody will go even where people agree with them, now I would want them to be in a place where people are teaching truth, don't get me wrong. As long as they submit themselves there, that's healthier than not being submitted anywhere. Does that make sense? Because the issue is, once you decide you're going to be submitted to others in a like-minded, like-spirited, in you know, relationship, it's important that you don't cut and run every time you don't hear something you don't want to hear. Because the problem is, that's what keeps people spiritual babies. They run from family to family, and emotionally and spiritually they are stunted in their growth because they never work through the conflicts or the frustrations that come from really being a part of the family. Keep telling the kids, you know, this family is all about you growing up and learning how to relate to other people and getting through conflicts and learning. That's what the family's all about. That's what the family's all about. And if we act like we're going to cut and run every time, or we're going to go find us a better family to go live with, we'll never grow up because we stay spiritually stunted at that point. What's the psychological term for that, sweetheart? Arrested development. There you go. Thank you very much. Okay? There you go. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yes, 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 yes. You submit as far as what is good and right and honors God. That makes sense? You don't submit to somebody who beats you or abuses you. You are not to give in to that, because that is not godly. But as far as it is that you can honor God in that submission, you do it when you're dealing with somebody that is outside of the cover of God. That makes sense? We're not talking about that primarily. We're talking about what is spiritual authority, what God has ordained. I'm going to share something with you that I don't have the end of it yet. But I know where I begin on the first part of it, okay? That issue of who you submit to in the American church is part of the problem of having hired gun preachers, is that you got people who have been together in a congregation, have very strong relational and spiritual ties, and then they're going to go find them a preacher and then set him up in a position of teaching and authority, but yet has no relational authority. And that's caused a buku of problems in the American church. There's a lot of mistrust. There's a lot of refusal to submit. There's a lot of refusal to cooperate because of the animosity that is developed in that relationship. Yes, but we're so broken. I agree, but we are just so broken that we have got to continually come back to and be reminded of this is God's economy. It isn't my economy. Because I've sat in the church where this side of the church paid for those windows with their family names on it, and this side of the church paid for those windows and their names are on it. And Granny Daisy's name's right here on this pew, so that's where I sit. Mr. Horace's name's on this pew, so this is where I sit. We do everything that Grandma Daisy said, because everything Grandma Daisy said till she was 98 was gospel, whether it was or not. So we're broke. And we constantly have to come back to there is a God, there is a spiritual authority, and even spiritual authority should be subject to being accountable. And for what you teach, for how you speak, for how you relate to people. There's days where I don't act very much people-like. I don't mean to, but there's times where my affect or the way I react to things isn't what I want it to be. And I don't even see it. And that's why God gave me Regina. Because then she'll say, "Do you realize you..." And I was like, "No, I didn't mean to do that. I really didn't." And so we need that spiritually. It's every one of us has to go through stuff. Those of you who've been around long enough, maybe Miss Lane can help us, since Miss Lane is here with us from beautiful downtown Wyoming. Can any of you all remember who have been around that long? Do you remember how long Regina and I were around before I ever got a chance to teach anything? Before I ever got a chance to stand up and do anything? I think it was around 2.5 years. It was 2.5 years before I stood up and got anything to teach any. I was stacking chairs. That's right. I was the man at the door for 1.5 years. Yeah, me and Daniel. Absolutely. Yes, he did. Yep. That's right. And that was just a chance to do it at all. It was until we moved to Jacob G. Smith, all as one congregation, that I had a chance to teach on a regular basis at all. Now, y'all think it's no big deal, but you got to remember the place that I came from. I went through seminary. I pastored 2 churches. I was on staff at another one. And here I am, standing at the door for 2.5 years. Now, you've got to see things differently. You got to understand the benefits and the blessings of submission. It's just different. God's economy is different. The way He does things is different. And that's one thing that we have to do constantly, is tell you nobody has a desire that anybody agrees with, believes, or follows anything I say or do blindly. That is not what this is about. Check it out. You dig. In fact, it's probably more my job that you learn how to dig on your own and see what the Bible says than it is that you necessarily agree with or accept my ABC message, ABC, like gum, you know, already been chewed, okay? That you just take what, you know, has already been chewed up like a baby bird. That's not growing yet. All right. I need to close. It's time to move on. I don't know where I'm going to go next week as far as teaching wise. So we'll see what the week brings. You be praying, because maybe there's something we're supposed to be doing that I just haven't heard yet. So I would appreciate that for 9:30. All right, let's bow. Father, we are under You. You are our God. You are the only true, perfect, good, and right authority in our lives. And Lord, help us to see and help us to joyfully agree with You. Joyfully obey. Rest in Your care and Your provision and Your purpose for us. So that, Lord, we would not be continually in conflict within ourselves, within our spirits, because our flesh and our soul is arguing and warring with what You're saying and what You're doing in our lives. We can see what is right and good and pure and perfect and holy. Let us live in accord with what You have revealed. Let us submit to it, submit to one another, submit to those that You put in our lives to love us and care for us and work with us and struggle with us, that we might be more like Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.